Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
The last broadcast day of 2016, I just couldn't stay away. There's so much going on in the world. Smoking idiot could put troops, he could put the 82nd Airborne into Ukraine tonight from a surfboard in Hawaii. So we don't know what's coming tomorrow. That's where I figured I'd play the Doors. I didn't know how to open the show today. I was going to open first with this, which is a corny 50s thing. But before you hear it, this was an ad that was very popular in the 1950s. That is what you're about to hear. And it's a positive thing about a car and about America. Remember who ran the ad business in the early 50s? It was returning war veterans from Korea, the World War II. Men, largely men who smoked cigarettes and drank a lot of booze. And they loved America. Now, you'll understand why I'm playing it as you hear this one from the 1950s. Listen to this one.
See the USA in your Chevrolet. America's asking you to call. Drive your Chevrolet through the USA. America's the greatest land of all.
See? Can you imagine?
On a highway or a road along the
way. All right, hold it. America's the greatest land of all. Could you imagine lyrics like that being written today in one of the punk ad agencies in the United States of America, with these slithering anti-American creatures occupying the halls of advertising? No, you couldn't. So I was either going to open with that or with the Doors, or there's another one I wanted to open with. And it's one of those days where all of my moods and emotions are just below the surface. And I'll tell you about it in a minute, how it relates to the Putin, Russian, Obama, et cetera, Trump thing, because it's all there. I will get into the news, but listen, I wasn't going to be on the air today. It was going to either be a best of or a fill-in. I said, wait a minute. Hold on now. It's the last broadcast day of the month for those of us in a major league of radio. What am I going to do that's more important than reach my audience? And I want to say this to my audience. I invite you to call and answer a few questions. What do you fear will happen in 2017, given what Obama is doing right now? That's number one. Who do you fear more, Putin or Obama, and why? I know it's an amazing question given to an American audience, but I wouldn't be asking it if I didn't already know the answer. Who do you fear more, Putin or Obama? And I'm not ladling either of their names with anything in advance of their names. I'm modifying either of their names with, let us say, something else, you know. I could say a pronoun or a proverb, but I could do either and I won't do either. The fact of the matter is, what would you like to say to millions of people in 2016? Because this is the last chance you're going to have to do it. And today I'm going to prove to you that politicians like Obama are more dangerous than gangsters. I have a soundbite that I worked on over this week because I was culling sound for my God book and my Trump book. Yeah, I'm doing a Trump book. Oh, yeah, it's coming out in late February, early March. It's going to be a great book. I hope he likes it, but I can't guarantee anyone will like it. I'm just going to be true to what I think needs to be said in order to keep this country on course. And that book will be out late February, early March. And I'm working on the God book. It's what I do, okay? It's what I do. People say, how does he do it? I do it. That's what I do. So all I think about is that. So in doing the God book, I said, wait a minute. Let me find one of these tapes that stuck in my mind when a Jewish gangster called spontaneously from San Diego, California. I had never heard of him. I don't know why he called. And it turns out he was real. He was shot 9 times, been in prison 25 years. His mother was a gun moll who was a girlfriend of Bugsy Siegel. He was the real McCoy. He's been written up in many New York. But the point was, is that he called because he said that God broke him. God broke him. And as a result, and this is one of the toughest men you'll ever meet. Okay, we're talking about not tough. We're talking about hard. Prison hard, not tough. There's a lot of tough men out there. This is prison hard. But he said at the end, God broke him, and he tells the reason why. You're not going to believe this piece of tape. It's only a minute 39, where he says politicians are more corrupt than gangsters. Of course, you know that already. You can see that Obama is laying the groundwork for something, and you know what it is. I know what it is. I don't have to consult with what Obama's doing. There's a method to his evil madness. He's laying the groundwork to become the head of the UN. Every position he has taken in the last few days is the position of the United Nations. And that's it. What more do you have to say of that? Add to that. He's going to go to the UN and be cheered day and night because he speaks their language. He's a third worlder, thinks like a third worlder, acts like a third worlder, is a third worlder. Doesn't matter where he was born or not born. He has all the positions of the corrupt and angry in the United Nations. So that's what I'm saying. Phone number is 855-400-7282. That's the way. I'm a complicated human being. I'm not a robot. I'm not a machine. Sometimes I have several themes running at the same time. Does that scare you? I hope it doesn't, because it doesn't scare me at all. It invigorates me, to be honest with you. Okay, so if you get on the show today, you will be a part of a memorable show because it's the last Savage show of 2016, number one. But also, you will have people listening to you who you'll never meet in your life, and a lot of them. And you know what the topics are. I guess you can say anything, truthfully. I wanted to come in for you because I know many of you already wrote the week off. It was over and no one was in. Everyone's having a fill-in. And some of the fill-ins are terrific in radio, by the way. They're terrific fill-ins. I'm hearing them all week. But the thing is that if this is what you do for a living, can you turn your brain off? I can't. How does anyone who has an active intellect turn it off on a vacation? Look at Obama. He is an active demon. He can't even turn the brain off while he's surfing in Hawaii or golfing. He's still demonically trying to destroy America and the world. Look at this. This angry little man cannot stop trying to disrupt the entire world. Look at him. I want to go back to a book I wrote a number of years ago. I think it was before Stop the Coming Civil War. In one of the books, over the last number of years, I stated that Obama is like a child who takes a clock apart, a fine clock that he inherited, and he knows how to take it apart, but he doesn't know how to put it back together again. The Humpty Dumpty analogy. This guy is taking apart the greatest clock ever created. We gave it to him, and he's just taking the pieces out of the clock. And he can't put them back together again. You hear this? Anyway, these are some of the thoughts. We got the gangster. We got the this. We got the that. We got the But I want to have some fun today. I got to tell you this. I want to have some fun on the show. I want to talk about the news, the views, the reviews. I invite you to call again. I will talk about the neocon ventriloquists who want war with Russia. Oh, you haven't heard that before. Ooh, how'd he come up with that one? Ooh, neocon ventriloquists, that should get your attention. There's an awful lot of them out there. Neocon ventriloquists, how did you put that together, Savage? How dare you create such an original syllogism? A neocon ventriloquist, and they do want war with Russia, of course. Many of them are stuck in the past. They cannot break out of the past. They came to, to life as pseudo-intellectuals during the era of Russian hysteria, anti-Russian hysteria. And although things got better, the neocon ventriloquists are now operating at full throttle. They dominate the foreign policy establishment. We all know that the Cold War has been over for a long time. We know that the Russians are not a threat to us at all. We know that they have a lot of nukes, but they're absolutely not threatening to nuke us. We all know that. So why do these neocon ventriloquists continue to yak about Putin being a combination of Stalin, Hitler, and, as someone said, that third-grade bully who put gum in their hair? Why did they completely demonize this man? Well, there's a lot of answers to that, which I hope to get to this to in a few minutes. A lot of it has to do with the fact that these people, these neocon ventriloquists, have frankly had their entire professional lives revolve around opposition to the Russians, and they can't get over it. And then when the Soviet Union collapsed, they weren't going to throw away their career, so they found new reasons to hate the Russians and to hate Putin. That's number one. It's very much like the war against truth in the global warming racketeering industry. A number of years ago, there was hardly any scientists in this fraudulent field. And then when the bully with a surfboard went crazy and started to send hundreds of billions of dollars into science, every crackpot scientist got into the global warming field. They all became experts in climate science. Well, under Trump, that's going to change. My recommendation to Donald Trump is to defund all of the climate science hysterics. Or if you don't want to do that, give 50% of all the money that's given out there for the climate science hysterics to the skeptics. And let's see where the science leads us, because I know where the science leads us. And if you don't have the time to research it all as I do, just Google Vostok ice core samples. Sometimes the simplest of all studies gives you the best answer. I included it in Government Zero, a whole chapter on it. But the fact of the matter is, when this climate science gravy train ends in 2017, do you think these climate science gangsters are going to stop putting forth the big lie about global warming being caused by your foul breath and your car? No, they're not going to stop. It's the same thing with the neocons who want war with Russia. They never stopped hating Russia. Even though the wall fell down, even though the Soviet Union became Russia, even though Russia became, in some ways, very much like America, they are still cold warriors, these ventriloquists, these neocon ventriloquists. And you're going to see the same thing when the wall comes tumbling down around the big, big lie of our day that man is destroying the earth through global carbon emissions, etc. So that's the opening to the show. I hope you've enjoyed it so far. If you're going to tune me out, it's your loss, not mine. The phone number is 855-407-282. I'm Michael Savage. Be here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. No one here. They can't do a double track. That's the thing I found about radio. I've listened to it. You cannot hear me and the song. They try, but it's not a split thing. I hear it, but you don't hear it. Trump faces challenges from within GOP to border wall and deportation. No kidding. That's a big story on Newsmax. Fellow party members, they don't want the wall. Oh, no, they want business as usual. And, of course, the neocon ventriloquists will trumpet that in the coming weeks and months. You'll hear the neocon ventriloquists who pose as conservatives saying that we don't need a wall, we don't need to deport anyone. You'll hear. But that there are true blue conservatives. You'll hear that. Well, what's conservative about not building a wall? Tell me what's conservative about not deporting the illegal aliens in prison. I said don't deport all the workers. I'm on record with that. I'm not a fool. But the fact of the matter is, you can start by deporting the 28% of prisoners who are here illegally, who committed numerous felonies and got caught and convicted, get rid of them. Throw them out of the country. Who's going to fight that? Well, a few groups. La Raza, number one. Number two, the prison guards associations. Very bad for business to empty the prisons out. So, you know, you got a lot of forces in a big nation. You get it? And so here we are. I mean, I don't want to overpay. I'm trying to be a nicer Mike today. I thought about it. People are afraid of loud men. Children are afraid of loud voices. Women are afraid of loud voices. Maybe I can modify my, because a lot of stations get afraid of me. They're terrified. They want milk toast. They want nice saccharine voices saying the word Republican, conservative, but not being Republican conservative at all. So, I mean, I'm more like a Broderick Crawford kind of character from the 1950s movies, but that's, you know, that's over with. Nobody wants alpha males. Let me put it to that way. Maybe a beta male, yes, they'll accept. Occasionally you'll take an alpha male when you need him in certain situations, whatever that may be. You fill in the blanks. But by and large, the alpha male is dead in America. What you have mock alpha males in the form of Matt Damon, mock alpha male. Movie stars are mock alpha males, right? So what's a real alpha male? I don't know. What's a real alpha male? What does that mean? We all have sensitivities and vulnerabilities underneath it. But in the broadcasting world, I mean, I happen to be loud. That's how I am. It's my nature. It's driven everyone away from me. I have no friends, and the family doesn't want to talk to me because of it. They're afraid of it. They don't like it. It's overpowering. If they talk loud to me, I say to them, why are you screaming? They said, because you do. I said, I don't scream. I talk like this. I had an Italian friend. He passed away last year. I loved him. Lorenzo Petroni, he used to own the restaurant in San Francisco, North Beach Restaurant. Well, he was a barrel of a man. He was the kind of guy that when you touched him, It was like touching a stump of a tree. This guy was an oak tree, a human oak tree. I love the guy, but he was, of course, inside a gentleman, a true gentleman, but just an oak tree of a man. But he was very loud, talked like I do. So naturally, we took a liking to each other 20 years ago, and I had many a good meal there. And one of the reasons I used to go there was to argue with him. And I told him once, the reason I come to your restaurant is not for the food. It's I come here to argue with you because no matter what I eat, I lose weight. You get me so excited that I sweat during the meal. So no matter what I eat in your restaurant, I never gain an ounce. He got a kick out of that one. But he also had a loud voice. And he also had trouble with people around him in his own family who were intimidated by his loud voice. This is a product of two things, feminism and drugs. People on medication are afraid of loud voices. They don't know that men talk this way all over the world. Go to Chinatown. You ever listen to Chinese talk? How loud they talk? They scream at each other, especially the Hong Kong Chinese, like a scream fest. It makes Jews from New York look like quiet comparison. No, not. Go and say something to Chinese that they're too loud. Go ahead. Try it.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-728. Savage.
Join Jim Morrison, wherever he may be, on the other side, wherever that is. This is the Savage Nation. I would like to talk for a minute, not just about the news that I've been trying to hint at, that politicians are more dangerous than most gangsters, and who do you fear more, Putin or Obama? And what would you like to say as 2016 comes to an end? What do you fear will happen in 2017? I'll do all of that, but you know, I really, remember I told you I wanted to open with three different songs at once, and they were all different? One was The Doors, which I just played. The other was the Johnny Ray song. What's it called, Jim? I forgot. Robert? What? We met in a dream, you were by my side, and softly we cast out. That was a romantic side. Then I was going to play the USA, the Chevrolet side. I was thinking about it. Am I the only one who runs a triality in the human mind? We've heard of the duality of the human mind. Well, like, you know, multiple thoughts at the same time. I have at least a triality running at all times. Now, if I go to a doctor, they medicate. I don't go to a doctor because I don't need the medication. I create instead of medicate. Now, write that one down. Don't medicate, just create. What are you afraid of your thoughts for? Why do you think you have to think in one single monodimensional, track? I don't get it. The triality of the human mind, you're capable of so much. Is the other side of you trying to scream out, come out. Get out. Be out. Come on out, honey. Paint. Whatever. I don't want to sound like a constructive guy who runs a self-help thing in Mill Valley, California, in the woods under a redwood tree. A guru thing. Well, I've thought of that too, you know. All the years I've been torn and doing so many things. In January, I don't know about, I didn't tell you this yet. I'm going to have my first interdenominational religious service, but I don't want to call it a religious service. I have to find a place that we need security. Guess you'll get the nuts there, and I don't want them. You know, you say religion, you're finished. You get people crawling out of the wall. Crosses, Jewish stars, Torahs, knives come falling out of the sky. I mean, it's like everybody's got an axe to grind when it comes to religion. And so I don't do anything. I just do radio. It's much better for me. But speaking of the radio, I want to go back to what I told you I would do. The first rule of radio is never promise anything you don't deliver on. I learned that in the first week of radio, 20-some odd years ago. A program director said to me, look, if you say you're going to do something, they wait for it. You do it. So I promised you that I had an interview from the past with a Jewish gangster. His name is Michael Hardy. I don't know who. I did not know him before the show. I don't know how I got to it, but he called me. We stayed on the air together well over 40 minutes. He was calling from a care facility in San Diego, I believe. I'm not sure. Look him up, Michael Hardy. He was written up in New York Magazine years ago. And I asked him, are politicians more corrupt than gangsters? And I have a minute piece for you, a minute 39, of his answer in clip 11 from June 10th, the year 2010, on The Savage Nation.
God came to me and spoke to me, okay? And believe me, he gave me an awakening. And he just told me, listen, you got to change your ways. This is a part of history. We don't have much time left. Okay, things are going to happen. There's a storm coming. If you don't prepare, if you don't maintain the greatest sanctuary, okay, against tyranny in the world and keep tyrants from controlling it, then we're going to lose it. This is the only
way. You're referring to America, aren't you?
Yes, I am. I am.
So you're a man who was on the other side. You were in the dark side of things. And I asked you in the last hour, do you think that this country is being run by the same type of people who ran the New York that you saw through your mother's, the time of your mother? You feel like they're just as corrupt?
They're more corrupt because the guys that ran New York when I was a kid, they had honor. They might have done.
Michael, how many times have I said on this show, I knew that politicians were always on the take when I was a kid. I knew it. I wasn't shocked by it. But there was a line that they never crossed, and that line was treason. And I said that line has been crossed. They would all sell this country down the river today for a dollar. Isn't that what you're saying?
The fiber of our Constitution and democracy is entwined with treason at this point in this day. It is. Treasonous acts from the government. People don't care. Do they think they're just going to maintain this country? You think that you... Look at those guys on Normandy Beach. God, if they could only knew what they were fighting for, they might not have showed up, Michael.
How many times have I said it?
So, yeah, the guys on Normandy, right. Eddie died on Normandy Beach so we could have Obama in the White House. Eddie gave the last ounce that he had in himself and threw himself on a grenade so we could have... Well, you fill in the blank. I don't have to do it for you. You just fill in the blank. You've got a large... palette to choose from of traitorous individuals. I was reading another story not related to anything. I loved going into the neocon ventriloquist story who want war with Russia, but I don't know if today's the day for it. Neocon ventriloquists want war with Russia. I think it's one of my best statements of the year. You know, what's this big thing with Russia, by the way? What's this big... Let's say that there's truth to it for a moment, that they hacked some of the people in the DNC. Let's say that is true, right? They're not even alleging that they changed anything, just that they saw the emails. So what's the problem here? What do you mean they hacked the election? In other words, they found out what a rotten thief she actually is and how evil her entire party is? Look, the first allegation of Russian interference was originally dismissed by Obama and his stooges as highly unlikely and laughable. And then it was only after Clinton lost, it became, it's possible that they hacked it. Now suddenly it's a tsunami being put out by the neocon ventriloquists, both liberals and so-called Republicans together, by the way, because they all want war. They want war. Do you understand that? Do you understand what I'm saying to you? When I say neocon, they're identical to the liberals in the sense that they want war with Russia. Whether they want a Cold War or they want a shooting war, they want war with Russia for their own reasons. It's a neocon ventriloquist trick. They can't let go. Do you really want nuclear war with Russia? You idiots, you? You stupid fools, you. Here's a man who won the Nobel Peace Prize the minute he became president for no reason, because the commies who run the UN and... the Nobel Peace Prize Committee are one and the same. They're all the same. They go to the same, I don't want to say pizzerias in Brooklyn, but you get the drift if you're into that story. Those in the UN who are given to that type of thing, and those in the UN who are given to that type of thing, probably go to the same pizzeria in Brooklyn. It's an in-joke that only the truly in people understand what I'm saying. In other words, the plain sick perverts in the UN and the Nobel Peace Prize Committee, they're the same people. They want war with Russia. Why? These are the same people who pretend to be in the peace business. Now they want war? Okay. Here's a story that has nothing to do with what I just said. Nothing whatsoever. Imagine why I came on the air today. What was I going to do otherwise? I had reduced my life to simple things. My whole family is away. I came home and I said, go to the next vacation. I'm not going. I love doing nothing. You know, long before radio, I found out how to spend the whole day doing almost nothing. Doing nothing is an art form, by the way, such as, let's see, go to Taylor and pick up pants. Now, you build a whole day around that. Or another one like this, go to drape store and check out new drapes. You can build a day around that. Or let's say another one, you name it. I know a guy. He was a very famous musician. He had two big records. I have gold records. He had them on his wall. I loved him. He was a nice guy. I won't mention his name. I lost touch with him years ago. But he was a real rock musician, and we used to be real good friends. Terrific guy. We hiked together, did everything together. But this guy did nothing. He had these two records. They were, like, on his wall. And he lived in his little house, smoked a lot of dope. I don't know if he's a bad guy, but we hung out. He's a great musician, but he did nothing all day. But he would build a day around doing nothing, like, sorry, I've got to fill out a, I got to write a check today. I'm sorry, I got a lot of paperwork today. What do you mean paperwork? What do you have to, write a check to PG&E? The guy would build up to that. Like he was like panicked over the one thing he had to do that day was write a check. He had to like meditate all morning, have lunch, get ready, write the check, and then take a nap and get ready for dinner or getting stoned. It doesn't mean he was a bad guy, but you can do that. You could actually reduce your life to something like that. Like today, what do you think I was going to do today if I didn't come on the radio? Here's a Friday. It's gorgeous here in the Bay Area. It's cold and sunny. I love it. The most perfect weather you can imagine. So what was I going to do? I was going to drive one of my old Jaguars, which I haven't driven in a long time. I've lost interest in them. I bought a new English car that's, I call it Storm. Not Stormy, Storm. It's a grayish blue car, like a tank. And so now I don't like the older ones because they, you don't know. Every time you drive them, I think the mechanic is off. I have his cell phone. I think he's on vacation. My assistant is on vacation. Nobody is around. The dog is with the groomer. So if this car broke down, I'd have to leave it on the side of the road. They'd slash the top open. So I don't go in it. So I figured I'd go on the radio. No, I'm saying, like, what? It reduces itself to the simplest thing. Let's say you have a boat, okay? Make it a bigger thing. Big deal. You're going to go out on your boat again. It's to get the captain, start the engine, pull the fenders up. And for 2 seconds, you get the, oh, great. And then you go, like, why am I out here again? Why am I out on the water again? I don't like the water. I've seen the wave. There's the bird. I've seen it. I know its cousins. I know every bird on the bay. No more, please. So you don't want to go on your boat anymore. There's nothing left to do at a certain point. And secondly, it's a pretty weird time for me. I did something terrible yesterday. I knew I was getting in trouble because I told you I also have a small collection of antique clocks, pendulum clocks from France, 1880, 1890, right? And I keep them running perfectly. I'm so careful. You have to wind them a certain way. You overwind them, they're finished. You have to wind them just the right amount, keep them dust-free. And they'll run for years if they were... I broke one yesterday. I got stupid because here's what happened. It was running fine. I loved the way it rang. It had a ring to a chime on it that was gorgeous. But it was ringing on the wrong hour. It bothered me. Now, I knew how to move the little hand. You can move the little hand on the hour to meet the number of rings that you get. You can move it in either direction. But if you move the big hand, the minute hand, backwards, you break the clock. I did not move the big hand backwards. I did something worse. I removed the pendulum for some reason. It wasn't keeping correct time. And I know you can lengthen the pendulum by turning a screw, but you have to remove it to do that in this clock. Well, I removed the pendulum, which is very tricky. I grew up doing this stuff. It's kind of fun with a magnifying glass and a light. And then I reinserted the pendulum back into its sheath, put it in the clock, and it was like fast, like a crazy clock, because I pushed the pendulum shaft too high up in the shaft. So in other words, the arc of movement of the pendulum was now smaller, right, higher up, so it moved faster. And that's, of course, how you control the tempo of a clock. If you wanted to slow down, you lower the weight of the pendulum so it moves more slowly, right? These are amazing instruments created so many eons ago in so many ways. And the people figured this thing out. It was an exact science, and they kept perfect time. I can't quite get the pendulum back into this beautiful clock to do the right thing. I got it back in, but not exact. I got to pull it out for the fifth time. Now I got to go buy nose pliers today. That's like, Saturday and Sunday I'm going to do that. That's my New Year's Eve project, is make the clock run properly for 2017. It's okay. I kind of like it. You know what I'm saying? I love hobbies. I like hobbies. So what would you do with the whole day anyway? Here it is Friday. You already bought. You returned. You said hello. How many times have you said Happy New Year already? Till your tongue stuck. Hi, John. Hi, Mike. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Okay, fine. It's a tradition. You can't wait till it's over already. Everyone's back to work. So now the next question arises, is Monday the day I come back full time? Everyone's off till Tuesday in the radio business. Nobody is coming back Monday that I know of. They're all enjoying themselves in the sand somewhere. Great. If you like sand in your soup, go ahead. Make my day. I don't know. I may come in live Monday and start the year on Monday. But then you're afraid that if you do that, then the whole audience comes back really Tuesday, if not Wednesday, from vacation. And then you have to repeat what you did Monday and Tuesday because they didn't hear a word of it. And you're going to throw out your best shot for 2017 on Monday. So I have to think about that. But, you know, being who I am, I'll do the same good show either day. Depends upon, you know, where my head is at. I got to tell you something. I took a few days off last week, went to Florida, did one show from Florida, came home, had a perfectly miserable time. The heat almost killed me. I got there with a freak heat wave. I almost died from it. Like hive weather. It was so bad. It was like being bitten by bees. Who goes to Florida in the winter to have like summer heat and humidity? It was gag time. So I came home. So, I mean, now it's a cold, like, long John weather here in the San Francisco Bay Area, which I happen to love. Invigorating, we used to call it in New York. But there's no snow, no rain, no sleet, right? Which is nice. So it's cold and sunny. What could be more beautiful? The city is alive. So I figured I'd stay here. But I'm invigorated. A couple of days last week, a couple of days this week, I'm ready to go. Why would I want to take more days off? What, just because I can? This is the thing I don't understand. Now, look, there are people who are more normal than I am. They play golf. I'm not knocking it. I don't play golf. I just don't. I think the game is too slow. I know you're saying, okay, that's an arrogant statement because you can't play golf. Okay, put it any way you want. I met a guy the other day who just had his hips done. Younger than me. I better be careful how I say this. It could be somebody who knows me. I ran into the wife of someone I know whose husband just came out of hip surgery. Oh, I got to tell you the story when I come back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
Well, we're almost out of hour number one on the show. Look, I've touched on neocon ventriloquists. I created that just for you. It'll be stolen before it leaves my breath. I talked about the triality of the human mind, not one caller on it. I get it. But at the end of the day, what's this Putin thing? Obama's lining himself up to run the UN. He'll fit right in. He's a third worlder in spirit, if not in any other way. And they want war between nations. That's their only justification for existence, are small wars. So he'll fit right in with the other despots, the other corrupt despots in the UN. And if I were Trump, he should do what I've advised for years. Kick the UN out of America. It should be housed in Canada where the ballet dancer runs the country. Move it to Toronto if you want to keep it in North America. And convert the UN either into expensive condominiums or make it into a homeless shelter. It would be a better use of the building to make it a homeless shelter than it is right now. I'll be back. This is the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-728. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Toes on the golf courses do not know what to make of it all. They do not know how dangerous their psychotic rumblings actually are. The fact of the matter is Russia and the U.S. are at peace with each other, have been for a very long time. And I am speaking for a large number of American people today on this national radio program heard around the world on the internet. And I want to say this. The American people, by the largest majority, do not want war with Russia. The largest majority of American people are sick of war, and they enjoy the peace that we have with Russia.
We do not fear Putin. We do not think he is a combination of Hitler and Stalin. We do not want war with the Russian people. This is a message from the American people, because I am not controlled by the government in any way. This program is an independent program. It's the voice of one individual who has achieved great popularity over a 22-year career by speaking the simple truth. And the fact of the matter is, the simple truth is clear to all who will study it. Only the special interests want war with Russia. And those special interests include the gangster class of politicians who can only thrive when there is this dissension between people and dissension between nations. And so we, the American people, are speaking directly to you, the Russian people, if you're picking this up, whether in translation or by any other means. Know that most American people know that Obama is purely off the farm with his trying to gin up hatred for Putin, hatred for Russia, kicking out diplomats. This is how wars begin. Usually wars begin by expelling diplomats. Here is a man who has posed as a man of peace for all these years, and we've known the opposite is true about him. And yet we have neocon ventriloquists, as I call them, here in America, and frankly in the entire Western world, who would like to overthrow the Russian government as they overthrew Saddam Hussein, Muhammad Gaddafi, Viktor Yanukovych, Assad, who they tried to overthrow. And these neocon ventriloquists will not stop. They are angrier today than they have ever been, because their greatest design for the New World Order just came crashing down around them. First with the popular vote on Brexit in England, and now with the election of the businessman Trump in the United States of America. The neocon ventriloquists are desperate to retain their relevance. And the only way these neocon ventriloquists, and I would include John McCain, Lindsey Graham, and the others, they are all in the pocket of the defense contractors. You just take a look at their donors and you'll see what I'm talking about. And you will see how shallow they are. I should say how transparent it is to all of us that the special interests who profit from war are the only ones who want war. And apparently Obama is their man. And this goes across party line. This transcends party. The fact of the matter is the liberals and the neocon ventriloquists are on the same exact side with wanting war with Russia. The machinery is in motion. I would not be surprised if I wake up tomorrow morning and find out that the surfing president has ordered the 82nd Airborne into Ukraine in order to provoke Russia once again. Because right now we read that Putin is laughing at Obama. They're writing that he's a political corpse. He's angry and shallow-brained. So they're not taking him seriously. What you have to understand is that he directs the most powerful military on earth, that is Obama. Although it's a depleted military, it's still the most powerful military on earth. And they will do exactly what he wants, whether it be directed to them from a surfboard or from the Pentagon itself, who may take time out from involving themselves in the transgender studies and making certain that transgender surgeries go forward as planned. They're still a very dangerous force. But we, the American people, I will repeat, do not want war with Russia. We love the Russian people. They're our natural allies against the greatest threat the planet has seen since Hitler, and that threat is Islamofascism. Putin is also our greatest ally in this war against the Islamofascists, which, by the way, is the subtext as to why the surfer hates him so much. You see, the surfer was backing, through third and fourth channels, the so-called good terrorists in Syria. Our terrorists in Syria, the rebels, the good rebels, were actually cousins of ISIS, if not ISIS themselves. It was very hard to tell a difference between the ISIS members and our good terrorists, or good rebels there in Syria. And we were backing them with money. We were backing them with training. And then along came, and nobody can understand how a nation as powerful as this one, the United States, could not defeat a ragtag army in all these years. They have no air force. They have no navy. How could we not defeat them, we kept asking. Well, the answer is because we didn't want to defeat them. The fact is that they were sort of our Hessian army. And on their march, they would have helped overthrow Assad. And in so doing, they would have denied Putin a warm seaport and possibly have brought down Putin. That was the whole game plan. And then the unexpected happened. Putin stepped in and with his Russian Air Force started to bomb ISIS. The supply lines grew thin. The parades, the victory parades of their pickup trucks with the machine guns stopped. And eventually Mosul fell. Raqqa fell. Why? Because Russia stepped in. And Obama will never forgive Putin for having done this. This is all interconnected. But the end of this little monologue that I'm giving you today on the Savage Nation is this. We, the American people, know exactly what's going on. We know that the neocon ventriloquists, with their puppet in the White House, wants a limited war with Russia. It's good for business. Well, we, the American people, don't want any damn war. We've had enough wars to last the rest of our lives. And we can't wait until this scourge leaves the White House and goes on to what his reward will be, which will no doubt be his friends at the United Nations, who could not exist without troubles around the world. I'm Michael Savage. I agree with every word I just said. The phone number is 855-400-7282. I'm glad I'm here for you today on the 30th of December in the year 2016. This will be my last live broadcast of the year. Most people are off, but the world is not off. It's still spinning on its axis. Events are still occurring. The world is not taking a vacation from starvation, from hunger, from disease, from plague, and from evil people who would like to gin up wars. We cannot rest. Now let's take some calls from the American people here on the program. Derek on KLIF in Dallas, Texas, line 3. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, the neocon ventriloquist, you know, that no one else can do that, Michael. You are the one and only in talk show on live television, as far as I'm concerned, that can...
Well, now you know why I've been taking off some very powerful stations, because they are threatened by my ability to see through what's actually going on. That's the fact of the reality. But you know what? At the end of the day, here's the thing to remember with the truth. The truth has a way of coming out. And I'm the kind of man, if I had no radio stations, I still reach millions of people. I mean, I love the radio stations I'm on. The fact is, though, that with the internet today, you can run a broadcast around the world without a radio station. You can write books without a radio station. The truth will get out there. So I don't know what they're trying to do in blocking the truth. The fact of the matter is, they are neocon ventriloquists who want war with Russia.
That's exactly right. You know, it's just... I'll tell you, Mike, when you you're able to mince words like it's almost like mental jiu-jitsu or something, and it's absolutely amazing. I try and turn my wife on to you. Your opening monologue on November 18th, had her listen to that, when you were talking about welcoming people into this country with hot burritos and cops changing their diapers, and that is so comical and really hits home.
Obama the surfer has turned the Border Patrol into doing that. That was not hyperbole. The Border Patrol union was saying that this evil president of ours converted the Border Patrol into nannies, glorified nannies, and they had to heat up tacos for the illegals breaking into the country and change diapers for the illegal aliens breaking in with their children. That's what this president of ours has done to the Border Patrol. That's a fact, by the way. It's not invented. Ask the Border Patrol if I'm making it up. All right, listen, my friend, I appreciate you hearing some of the phrases I create, such as neocon ventriloquist, but you're going to be hearing a lot from them over the next coming days, weeks, and months. They are desperate to ring the old... They want to ring the cowbell. And they want to start the herd going over the cliff. Hey, by the way, have you read Scorched Earth yet?
No, Michael, okay. I have not.
I'm sending you a copy. Just stay in the line. I'm giving it away, even though it's after Christmas. Still a book. What? Because Christmas came and went. You can't read a book? It's still the most important book of the political season. Why? Because it's restoring America after Obama. That's what the book is about. And it ties right into the Trump book that I've been writing feverishly since the election, which will be out in late February. I think, I don't know the date actually. And I hope that the book helps America understand what Trump is trying to do and how he's being blocked by the rhinos, and also the dangers of the individuals I've been talking about today, the neocon ventriloquists in the media. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
Now they sing, please don't shoot me, please don't shoot me, please don't shoot me, may I have a Quran, when approached by an Iranian gunboat. If an Iranian raft approaches an American destroyer, they give up right away. They cry for their mommy. They don't sing Billy Bones. No, no, maybe the Navy will come back. We'll put in really mean people with swords into the Navy. You know how the Navy was created? Good morning to you, Billy Bones, Billy Bones. Good morning to you, Charming Billy. When I last saw your hands, they were brown as my own. Now up through white fingers, the grasses have grown. And what of this cutlass so carelessly thrown? On the ground, Billy Bones, Billy Bones. Bones, 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 Billy Bones. Send them off to Davy Jones. Here's a good line. Of rum and gold and wenches bold. You've had your last fill, Billy Bones. This is what they sang as they threw someone overboard. That chest that you're laying on, one sail to sea. That's why you, I, and Flinty agree to divvy the contents up into three gold. Anyway, you get the picture. You know how the U.S. Navy was created, don't you? I told it once or twice in my storied career. It's an interesting story worth telling, given what Obama's done to the Navy. Just take a look at the Navy Secretary. Yes, sir! Yes, ma'am! I mean, whatever. Yes, ma'am! Never a Chris Craft across Lake Michigan. She would capsize, the Navy Secretary. She'd probably panic. Okay, our merchant ships were being attacked by pirates. Off the coast of Africa, by Muslim pirates. Yes, it's true. And they couldn't defend themselves. So they put a few cannon on the merchant ships, but they still were not able to defend themselves. So the U.S. government at the time decided to create warships that were strong enough, powerful enough, rather, filled with the dregs of humanity, the toughest men they could find in prisons, in bars, San Francisco. In other words, all the guys who were in Corcoran, let's say, today, would have been, just put into the Navy. And then they said, all right, you're the Navy. Either that or we'll, shoot you. So, all right, we'll take the Navy. So they got the toughest criminals they could find on the ships, the warships. And to top it off, we needed Marines to go ashore and kill the pirates before they... So what did you create? You created leathernecks. Where did the word leatherneck come from? The soldiers on the ships who were given the duty of shooting and cutting the heads off or the hands off the pirates were given leather necks, big pieces of leather, thick pieces of leather around their necks. So when they got into a sword fight with the Barbary Coast pirates, it would protect their necks. It's as simple as that. That's where the word leather neck came from. It's simple. It's interesting how simple things are. Bones, 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 Billy Jones. Send them off to Davy Jones. Davy Jones, why is it called Davy Jones's Locker? As I said to you earlier, look, I'll split the difference with you. If it was Daisy Jones, I'd take a chance on it. Davy, I could do without, that's all. Let's take some calls. KSFO, Gerald, line 3 from San Francisco. What's on your mind, Gerald?
Michael, I just want to tell you and the audience out there, I'm so grateful to have you on the air again for next year. About 20 years ago, I stumbled across this voice like I'd never heard on the radio before. Wasn't a duality, a triality. I don't even know how many alities it is, but your voice, stream of consciousness, this radio show has helped to keep me sane living in this city my whole life. It's a beautiful place. Everybody should come check it out, but if you really want to see...
It's the most beautiful city you could imagine. San Francisco is just stunningly beautiful, but to think about the level of corruption, and there's no oversight whatsoever. In New York, they have Preet Bharara, who does look out for the people, and he's indicted the highest level of politicians. Do you realize not one corrupt politician has been indicted in the city in many, many, 10, 15, 20 years now? Think about that, how corrupt it is. Look, when Trump becomes president, he needs to replace 99 out of the 100 U.S. attorneys. He ought to start on the West Coast and work his way east. I have some recommendations, Donald Trump. I know some great people who would make great U.S. attorneys, and I can guarantee you the city will be a cleaner place. Till it will be a far, far better place than it has ever been. I can guarantee it. I'm Michael Savage. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Hey, what is today? Friday? Tomorrow night, big deal. All right. Oh, when you're younger, I got a lot of parties. No, I don't want to go for it anymore. I could do without the hangover and the noise. But all right, if people like it, that's what they do. It's a cultural thing, and I appreciate it. I'll be in bed probably by 8 o'clock with the doors locked. Nah, I'm going out. I got a place to go to. I got a party to go to. Don't think I'm that. Look, there are people who invite me. I just, you know, I got a dance to go to tonight, which I won't go to, but I can go to it, which is the important thing. Then I got a New Year's Eve thing to go to, which I said I would go to, which I'm not going to go to. I prefer to watch the ball drop here, you know, and it's, you know, whatever. Go to sleep. So I want to do something fun for you today, which is so many things I've got to jam into this show, the last show of 2016, from the Savage point of view anyway. Let me begin with this. Years ago in New York City when I was a boy, there were radio jingles, and some of them influenced me. Some were funny. One of them was in a foreign language known as Yiddish, and it was for the largely Jewish audience in the Lower East Side of New York. It doesn't exist anymore. I used to listen to it and laugh. It was before my time, maybe my father's generation. It was aimed at them, the immigrants who were here. Now, that was a radio jingle, what, 15 seconds? What did they pay, $25 for it on the radio station in New York then? It was a local clothing store, and it would tell you to bring a suit or a coat for your, or a gabardine for your son. Bring him in for a suit. So it was just funny. So when I was listening to the song, it provoked a lot of memories in me. And I was thinking about when I was a teenager, I had a lot of jobs in order to make a living. I always worked. So my friend's father owned a clothing store. I won't say where. Let's just say somewhere in New York. And I would work there during Christmas because it was so busy. He'd hire a lot of kids. We did the, it was fun, you know, packing up and the wrapping and the ribbons and everyone's happy. I mean, I remember to this day like a Dickens. I feel like it was in a Dickens novel. The snow outside, light snow, and everyone's happy and shopping. But he had a weak son. And the guys like me who worked for the father, we knew that the father liked us more than the son. It happens in every family, by the way, that a father will sometimes relate to the son's friend more than to the son, right? Come on, raise your hand. You know that. They always wish that you were their son. I had that once or twice before. It's not that I'm so great, but the kid was just not all there. Let's put it to you that way. He's a little off in the cup. It happens, okay? It just what it was, not drugs. Something happened, and I used to joke he was dropped on his head by his mother. No, you don't say things like that today, but this one I think was dropped on his head by his mother. But he wasn't handicapped. We're not ridiculing. He just was not fully there as a person. He was not handicapped. But he was not really the kind of son you'd want that would protect you when you got older. Let's put it that way. So anyway, I call him the weak son. And I want to play something for you now. We remember in The Godfather, as the novel was presented by Puzo, he presented the three kinds of sons, right? So let's play the weak son, Fredo, just because this gives me a kick, too. I love it. It's a soundbite I love.
Send Fredo off to do this. Send Fredo off to do that. Let Fredo take care of some Mickey Mouse nightclub somewhere. I can handle things. I'm smart. Not like everybody says. Like dumb, I'm smart, and I want respect.
Great actor. We all love this guy. He died young. I don't know what, heart attack or something. But everyone who knew this guy in the movie business writes that he was such a great guy. Who knows? I don't know him. I didn't cry over him. But, okay, so he played the weak son, Fredo, right? So I'm thinking about that with the clothing store and the Joe and Paul thing. And it leads me to certain thoughts about the weak son. You ask yourself about Obama. What kind of son is he? He's mean. We know that. He's mean as a rattlesnake. And his eyes, by the way, become even crazier, by the way, in the last few days. If you look at his eyes, it's absolute demonic eyes now as he tries to stir up a war before leaving. As he leaves, it's like leaving a party and throwing a stink bomb into the crowd. That's what he's doing. He's trying to set the stage for disorder in the world. But is he the weak son or the mean son? It's hard to say what he is. So anyway, he's very clever. Became president 8 years. Doesn't take stupidity. And I'm sure he's strong inside. But why does he use all of that strength to do such harmful things, you ask yourself over and over again? Can you imagine what this country would be like today had he used his brains and his guts for the good of this country instead of the diminishment of the nation? Think about that. He's a very competent man. Why does he do it? Why does he have such an enmity towards this nation? A lot of reasons. His upbringing. He admitted his mother was a hippie. May she rest in peace. He was steeped in anti-American, communistic thoughts through his entire childhood, his education, if you want to call it that, his brainwashing. We know all the influences. We don't have to repeat them by name. So now 8 years of him. Okay, so by the thinnest of, just by luck, by God's will, Trump won. By literally by God's will and by luck, by the hair of a hair, he went over the finish line ahead of her. However it happened, Trump is the president. Just by luck, because she would have continued the policies of this guy, bringing in 550% more Syrian Muslims than he's already flooding in. Giving you one example, busting the border wide open, flooding in more illegals from Mexico and Central America, some with Zika. He doesn't care anymore. They could be coming in with full-blown pneumonia, full-blown tuberculosis. He does not care. He can wants to cause as much damage as he possibly can as he goes out the door. You know, in the old days, we knew when Democrats left, they would glue up the keyboard, let's say, of some computers. That's nasty pieces of work. The aides will wind up, you know, giving out little sausages in Costco. Last year they were an aide for one of the Democrats, and they know next year they got nothing ahead of them. So after about 16 weeks of unemployment insurance, or however long they can milk it, what's going to be available to them? Sausages at Costco, to get little sausages from the can to try. That would be like an aide to one of the congressmen or senators who just got tossed out. Okay, but the point is, no one has seen this kind of act before. Of what he is doing, okay? So here we are. That's what I'm trying to say. So is he the weak son? What kind of son is he? Now, that's one thing. There's many other things. If you were to take something home from today's program, and remember any of this program, I know what it would be. It would be my phrase, neocon, right? What did I use? What was my phrase? Come on now. I said a few new things today. One was the triality of the human mind. Where I implied that in my own head, there's usually three or four different themes running at once or ideas. And then I talked about the neocon ventriloquists who want war with Russia. And by the way, they are liberals. They are Republicans. They all want the same thing. You get it? So Putin, I predicted this last week, by the way, when I came on the air. You have to remember who Putin is. Former head of the KGB, number one. Hate it, not hate it. Just remember what his entire life has been built on, spying, and also not reacting too quickly to provocation. One thing you got to learn is if you're in a very dangerous profession, whether it be a policeman on the corner or a spy or a diplomat, the number one rule, I would imagine, is not to react to provocation. Because in reacting to provocation, you're going to make a mistake. Anyone in the fighting game is taught from the beginning by trainers to keep control over their emotions and to remember always that it's a mental game as much as it is a physical game. So what kind of martial arts, which martial art does Putin specialize in? You must remember he's a grandmaster in judo, not karate. I told you that last week. In karate, you can block a blow or throw a blow, right? Judo is a different kind of martial art. And as a grandmaster in judo, he did not take Obama's, let's say, moves at him very seriously. He just stepped aside. Think about what he just did. He just stepped aside from Obama's casting out the diplomat. He didn't even want to, he didn't say, okay, now I'm going to throw your diplomats out of Russia. He smiled at him. He let him fall onto the mat himself. Obama just looked like a biggest schmuck in world history. A schmuck tried to provoke Putin into some kind of reaction. And instead he wound up on his behind. That's what just happened in plain man-to-man talk. He provoked Putin, not knowing that Putin would just step aside and let him fall on his own behind. That's what just happened. Now, that doesn't mean the game is over. This clown is now even more dangerous than he was yesterday. And he's just liable to do something totally crazy tonight or tomorrow, which is another reason I came on the show today. There's no predicting what a desperate, weak leader might do. He's hysterical. He's acting hysterically, and he's acting desperately, by the way. And remember what he wants above all. What he wants above all is some kind of war with Russia, whether it be a hot war or whether it be a war of words. He wants war. He wants dissension to grow into something more, because that would set the stage for him to step into the United Nations as their chief spokesman or whatever, the president of the UN, whatever they call him, to try and save the world from what he just created. You get it? He created, in other words, a job for himself. He wants the boiling point. He wants the boiling point. He wants the water's temperature to go up. Just as Merkel has brought in rape refugees to Germany. And there's been one rape after another in Germany. One attack after another in Germany. One hate-filled event after another in Germany by these Muslim cutthroats that she's bringing in. She's still there, this monster. It's amazing to me. And the people can't take it anymore. Why is she doing it? What is she doing it for? You think she's a humanitarian? This dough-faced, oven-stuffing, concentration camp guard? No. She's not doing it because she loves refugees and cares for them. She's doing it for other reasons. And so Obama and she think the same way. Hillary thought the same way, and we voted against it. And so we have to be brave right now. We have to understand that some very evil people are trying to cause some very bad things to happen on the world stage. Lucky for us, Hillary lost. Lucky for us, Putin is a strong man who did not take the bait. Instead, he stepped aside and let our president fall on his own behind on the mat. He's laughing at Obama. He's mocking him. Have you read what they said? Have you read what the Russians have said? No, he said, not going to take the bait. DailyMail.com. Putin mocks Obama over sanctions as he invites U.S. diplomats' kids to the Kremlin instead of expelling their parents, and his aides scorn, quote, angry and shallow-brained political corpse. You hear this? He said he would not engage in tit-for-tat politics with the U.S. He also invited children of any American diplomats in Moscow to celebrate the New Year with him at the Kremlin. Obama's decision comes in reaction to hacking claims during U.S. elections. Again, I will repeat what I'll say it over and over. Let's say there is truth to the fact that some Russians did hack into some emails of some Democrats. Let's say that's a given fact. But they're not even accusing the Russians of having made up any of the information in the emails that they hacked, are they? So everything that was exposed by WikiLeaks, let's say through the Russians, turned out to be true anyway. So what's the big deal here? Where's the crime? The crime is Hillary and her aides were covering up what they were doing. So we ought to thank Russia for hacking into their emails and exposing her for the rat that she is. You get it? So the Russian strongman is just laughing him off. And his underlings called Obama a political corpse, saying his administration was made up of, quote, angry and shallow brain losers. Hey, I couldn't have said it better myself. And if I could speak Russian, I would apply for a job in Russia as a radio talk show host. Those are great words, to call Obama a political corpse and call his aides angry and shallow brain losers. They're terrific. That is really good talk radio. So Steven Seagal is over there. Who else is over there? Who else? Gerard Depardieu. I like his work. Another one went over there. Depardieu did a great movie, by the way, called Welcome to New York. Have you seen that movie? It's like loosely based upon what happened with a diplomat who was accused of molesting a woman in a hotel room. Wow. What a movie that is. He's such a great actor, Depardieu. Remember that famous picture of Obama trying to stare down Putin? That is such a great picture. Oh, what a pair of... You just look at the posture of the two of them. The tall, skinny guy with the hate eyes of the snake looking down at the shorter man who's just calculating what he's going to do by his eyes to see what his next move is going to be. Pretty good stuff. So Russian's foreign ministry spokeswoman, Maria Zakharova, how is it they can speak three or four languages fluently and the dummies that work for Obama can't even speak English correctly?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
All right, so the fanatical president of yours just shut down a U.S., a Russian compound on Oyster Bay, Long Island. Shut down over election hack. Russian compound shut down in Oyster Bay, Long Island on Friday. The 14-acre site is closed in retaliation against Russia. For what? For exposing Hillary Clinton for the lout that she is. I mean, again, I have to repeat. Let's say it's true that the Russians hacked her emails. Let's say it's true they hacked the other guy's emails, whatever his name is, the guy with the crazy... I don't remember his name. Podesta. Let's say they hacked him. No one is saying that they altered any of the information, are they? So the issue is, what did they actually do? They exposed them for what they are? Do you remember what they are? Do you remember that they interfered with Bernie Sanders' campaign? What is wrong with you people? How can a liberal not understand that these warmongers, these neocon and these liberal warmongers, will lead the world into a disaster? How do you not see this? Maybe you do see it, but you can't get onto the show right now. I get it. All right, so that's the story. We don't know where this could lead. Tomorrow we could wake up, and the surfing idiot could order the 82nd Airborne into Ukraine to further provoke Putin. He may keep going until Putin reacts, by the way. Because a man like Obama can never admit he's wrong. You have to understand that. He will continue to provoke Putin until there is a reaction. And I don't know if the clock will tick out fast enough for us to get rid of this guy. Let him go to the UN already. Let him already go there. We know he's not leaving, by the way. He's not moving to Hawaii, is he? No, he's not leaving. He's getting ready for New York, is my guess. The irony would be if he bought an apartment at Trump Tower. That'd be the irony. If Obama bought an apartment at Trump Tower at a discount, then I know it's all lost. That's all. This is Michael Savage. Be here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Turn it off. I'm not in the mood for it now at all. That's like a midnight song, you know, with a girlfriend. Why are we playing it now? People like that I came on the air today. They say with the real news and action taking place in the world, you're the first guy in the radio live today. All other stations have best of or fill-ins. To hear your voice today was great relief. I'm not crazy. The steps that Obama is taking this week will have long-term effects on our country, and we shouldn't pretend they aren't happening. Thanks for coming into work. Have a great 2017, says Mike Sutcliffe on my website, michaelsavage.com, which, by the way, is the best place for you to send comments. Forget Facebook. I don't send Mark Zuckerberg any money. If you want to comment, send it to michaelsavage.com on the bottom. You know, the haters will be deleted immediately. I don't need it. Send that to Think Progress. Send it to George Soros' inbox. So, yeah, the main thing is, what did I say today that's so important? I said this, that the neocon ventriloquists are trying to create a war with Russia. And that transcends both parties. Liberals want war. It's big business for them. And, of course, the pseudo-conservs, Lindsey Graham, John McCain, I call them the neocon ventriloquists. And these people are deadly serious. And they are in the pocket of the defense contracting industry, in my estimation. And they're extremely dangerous. Which is why I, frankly, opened my hour number two with an appeal to the Russian people and the Russian president. And I'm sure they will hear it. And that is saying that we like the Russian people, we do not fear Vladimir Putin, and we do not want war. That's what I said in hour two, and you should remember that. That's a very important thing that I did. This is the Savage Nation. If you care to comment, the phone number is 855-400-7282.
For those of you wondering how to hear me, you can hear me everywhere in the country, just as in the past, on the internet. So stations come, stations go. That's what radio is all about. I do not control which radio stations want me or do not want me. And although I had colossal ratings on some stations for political reasons, they didn't want me. They're punishing me for having, you know, backed Trump and see him elected. So what else can I say to you? That's all. George on WABC, line 3. Go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, Michael. Thanks for taking my call. And you have a wonderful show every single day. Listen, I'm calling because you asked the question about what do you fear. Well, I'm a black retired military veteran of the Korean War and Vietnam. And I was awarded the Bronze Star in Vietnam. I'm also the retired military person that Ronald Reagan invited to the White House September 30th, 1987. You can pull that up on California.
Well, I'm honored to have you as both a listener and as a calling in listener. So what motivates you to call today?
Okay, what motivated me to call is this. You said, what fears do you have? Well, from the God book that you've been quoting from occasionally, Moses said, and God spoke through Moses, he said to be strong, to have courage, have no fear, and be not afraid. For I am with you, and I will never leave you nor forsake you. And Michael, that has been my strong arm against everything that Barack Obama has been doing, because in that same chapter, Moses said, their foot will slide in due time.
Well, here's an interesting question. How has Obama gotten away with this? This is such a naked maneuver of evil. Anyone can see through what he is doing. How does he get away with it, is what I want to know. This man's foot has not slid at all yet.
Well, there are many American people, black and white, I didn't vote for him, whose eyes are blinded by covetousness and the free will thing that they claim, the free gifts that they're giving out. They're promising everybody the moon on the backs of people who work like myself and who have worked and earned paid their dues. And that's...
Well, yeah, but, you know, you said something very telling. You quoted God and Moses, and then you said his foot will slip. I have not seen Obama slip at all in 8 years. Have you?
No, not yet, but give it time. His foot started to slip the day that Donald Trump won.
Well, that's true. They did lose control over the New World Order, and they're not giving up so easily. And they do have many friends in the Republican Party who will still try to inject the policies that Hillary would have injected, incidentally. They want to do away with the border wall that Trump wants to build. They want to do away with the deportation of the illegal aliens in prison, even that. So the Republicans are just the same as the Democrat. The neocons and the liberals are no different in that regard. You know that.
I agree with you.
All right. Well, we got a big year ahead of us, and with listeners like you, George, we'll get through it. I wish I could give you a copy of my forthcoming Trump book, but I can't even announce it until next week. It's a title that will immediately set off shockwaves. But I'm not ready to do it until it's up on Amazon. I'm going to send you instead a copy of Scorched Earth, and I thank you for calling. Mark my words, when I announce the title of my Trump book next week, but it's got to be ready and linked up on my website for you to order in advance, it will set off a shockwave across the globe. It'll be one and one after the other. And what am I going to do, buy a new car with the money? No. It's written for one reason and one reason only. And that is to steer the Trump administration where we want them to go, because we know already someone's grabbing that steering wheel. There's a huge fight in the pilot's house, and some of the greasy hands of the RNC have already taken that ship to the left. You know it, and I know it. I mean, it's no mystery. You can't say it. Well, I can say it. That's my job. And we've got to now silence the neocon ventriloquists who are trying to steer the Trump ship right where it would have gone if Hillary had won. You get it? It's pretty well put. And thank you, George, from WABC. Clint, make sure that you get his name and address and send it out so we can send him a free book. Again, let me make the main point I want to make today on the program. Let us say for a moment that the Russians did hack
Hillary's emails and Podesta's emails, and even other DNC members, okay? Let's say they did hack them. We don't know whether they did or didn't. Let's assume they did. But even the intelligence agencies who work under Obama are not saying that they altered any of the messaging in the emails that they hacked. So what's the crime then? What, the crime is that the truth was exposed? That they were conspiring to destroy Bernie Sanders from the get-go? Yeah, but I guess that's a crime to criminals who get exposed. That's the reason you expel Russian diplomats, I guess. See what I'm saying? You see, look at the whole story. Now, something else happened that I haven't gotten to. Kerry said something about Israel that I really have not commented on yet. It's astounding. It's right out of Hitler's Third Reich. What Kerry said equals that of the most stupendously anti-Semitic speeches of the era that we thought was long behind us. He said that Israel can either be Jewish or democratic. It cannot be both. I laid awake in bed and said, wait a minute. That's like the Jewish blood libel. This is absolutely blood libel that Kerry put out. The hatred for the Jewish people is so apparent in Hillary's State Department. It's shocking. But Kerry, of course, has always been seen as this evil snake. So there's nothing new. But for the U.S. government to make a statement like that, no, it is not true that it can either be Jewish or democratic. Moreover, if Kerry was so obsessed with democracy, how come he didn't address the Iranian government? Why did he say that Iran can either be Islamic or democratic? It cannot be both. Why did he choose to hit Israel so hard? Why did he choose Israel? Because why? For the same reason that Heydrich chose the Jewish people for his venom. I want you to listen to the most anti-Semitic statement to have ever come out of an American government in clip number 2. It's astonishing if you actually think about it.
Today there are a similar number of Jews and Palestinians living between the Jordan River and the Mediterranean Sea. They have a choice. They can choose to live together in one state, or they can separate into two states. But here is a fundamental reality. If the choice is one state, Israel can either be Jewish or democratic. It cannot be both.
Listen to me. Stop right there. It cannot be both. Well, for one, he's lying. It is a democratic state right now. But you don't know that. Unless you've been to Israel, you don't know that. You don't know that the Palestinians live better in Israel than they live anywhere else on earth. And also you don't know that no other country on earth will take the Palestinians. For a reason, there's many reasons for it. Jordan won't take them. Egypt won't take them. None of the surrounding Arab nations want the Palestinians to live there. Because wherever they go, they try to take over the country because they're the smartest of all the Arab people. Incidentally, everyone knows that. Anyone who knows the Middle East knows that the Palestinians are the smartest of all of the Arab people. Look what they did in Lebanon. Would you invite people in who would try to overthrow your government? And so, okay, there it is. So to say that Israel can either be Jewish or democratic is perhaps the most anti-Semitic statement from any high-ranking American governmental official in the history of this nation. Think about that. Now think of who his boss is, the surfer. The smirking surfer who's trying to start a war with Russia. Think about how gravely dangerous these individuals are. And that tomorrow is another day. We don't know what they might do on the 31st of December, 2016. They could launch, as I said, they could launch the 82nd Airborne. One phone call from the surfer, and the 82nd Airborne is launched into Ukraine. Do you realize what the surfer can do before he leaves to see if he can provoke Putin into a reaction? It's terrible. Why is he doing it? Simple, simple, simple. He wants to become the president of the UN. The UN is a largely irrelevant body of fools that wastes trillions of dollars a year. It does nothing of any value. So the only justification for a United Nations would be wars, famine, things like that. And Obama wants something really hot to go in there for. He's not going to go there to just make sure that the starving people get food. He wants something really good to work with. So what would be better than a war? A nice war between, let's say, Israel and Iran, a nice war between Russia and the U.S. Not nuclear, of course. Nothing like that. Just a few 100,000 men dead.
on both sides. That would be a nice, good beginning for the laughing surfer to begin with in the United Nations. This is my opinion. What's yours? The phone number is 855-400-7282. This is the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Well, here's some breaking and shocking news. You know how bad the governor of New York State is, Andrew Cuomo, right? You know how left-wing he is, right? Well, I mean left. Cuomo just announced that he was commuting the sentence of a Brinks robbery getaway driver, but you got to look into it. In a bombshell move, Governor Andrew Cuomo, the left-wing fanatic, on Friday commuted the 75-year-to-life sentence of Judith Clark, the former Weather Underground radical who was convicted for her role in the infamous 1981 Brinks robbery in which two Nyack, New York police officers and an armored truck driver were killed. The clemency from the left-wing governor allows Clark, 67, to appear before the parole board for release in early 2017. How would you feel if you were a family member of the Nyack police officers who were killed because of this piece of garbage? But this doesn't stop left-wing fanatics, whether they're governors or presidents, from commuting sentences of their fellow travelers. Now, why would Cuomo do a thing like this? Why would he commute the sentence of a woman involved in the murder of police officers, no matter how long ago it was, when she was with the radical left-wing Weather Underground? Why would he reach out to the Weather Underground followers, most of whom today are old hippies somewhere in New York or San Francisco or Washington? What does he have to gain by doing it? Think about it. These people never go away. They're always around. Always around. And Obama is their perfect stepson. The perfect stepson of the Weather Underground is in the White House, still trying to provoke war somewhere on Earth. KLIF, Carl, you're going to have 1 minute to fire away. Go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, as first-time caller, I just started listening to all of you guys' shows about 6 weeks ago, and I got back on the road. I'm loving it. Big thing is my Lord, I don't think I realized how screwed up that Bob Obama had gotten this country screwed up. It's just amazing. And I've been Republican for a long time, but I just got too many of them putting along, taking what it is.
So do you agree with me that Obama is trying to provoke Russia into war?
I can't believe he's trying to do that. I believe he's going to do that, yes, and I hope.
Yes. All right. Well, listen, I want to say thank you for being a new listener in Dallas, Texas on KLIF. I'm just flat out of time here. We have only a minute and a half right now. I asked some leading questions today, which is, who do you fear more, Putin or Obama? Boy, did I get calls on that. And what do you fear will happen in 2017? And, of course, the main analysis I gave you today is that the neocon ventriloquists are also involved in wanting a war with Russia, and that Obama is laying the groundwork to move to the anti-American United Nations. And he needs some horrible situation going on in the world, or situations, in order to be a leader who has some reason to be at the incompetent, corrupt United Nations. That's what I think. It's one man's opinion. Never forget what you learned today about the neocon ventriloquists, which I think is a great phrase. You'll hear more about it next week, God's will, when I come back on this show, whether it be on Monday or Tuesday. We're going to have a lot to talk about in 2017. It's not suddenly gone away. It's gotten worse. With what this guy is doing, throwing stink bombs on his way out of the theater, is almost a criminal thing what Obama's doing. His ugliness to the voters and to screw up the Trump administration, the ugliness is at a fever pitch. And remember this, ladies and gentlemen, if you remember anything, the year is not over yet. And this sneaky thing on a surfboard can, with the stroke of a pen, order the 82nd Airborne into Ukraine to see if he can provoke Putin into a military response. Think about that, all you anti-war activists, and what you created in this Frankenstein.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage. Trump faces challenges from within GOP to border wall and deportation. No kidding.
That's a big story on Newsmax. Fellow party members, they don't want the wall. Oh, no, they want business as usual. And, of course, the neocon ventriloquists will trumpet that in the coming weeks and months. You'll hear the neocon ventriloquists who pose as conservatives saying that we don't need a wall, we don't need to deport anyone. You'll hear. But that they're true blue conservatives. You'll hear that. Well, what's conservative about not building a wall? Tell me what's conservative about not deporting the illegal aliens in prison. I said don't deport all the workers. I'm on record with that. I'm not a fool. But the fact of the matter is you can start by deporting the 28% of prisoners who are here illegally, who committed numerous felonies and got caught and convicted. Get rid of them. Throw them out of the country. Who's going to fight that? Well, a few groups. La Raza, number one. Number two, the prison guards associations. Very bad for business to empty the prisons out. So, you know, you got a lot of forces in a big nation. You get it? Neocon ventriloquists, that should get your attention. There's an awful lot of them out there. Neocon ventriloquists. How did you put that together, Savage? How dare you create such an original syllogism? A neocon ventriloquist. And they do want war with Russia, of course. Many of them are stuck in the past. They cannot break out of the past. They came to, let's say, to life as pseudo-intellectuals during the era of Russian hysteria, anti-Russian hysteria. And although things got better, the neocon ventriloquists are now operating at full throttle. They dominate the foreign policy establishment. We all know that the Cold War has been over for a long time. We know that the Russians are not a threat to us at all. We know that they have a lot of nukes, but they're absolutely not threatening to nuke us. We all know that. So why do these neocon ventriloquists continue to yak about Putin being a combination of Stalin, Hitler, and, as someone said, that third-grade bully who put gum in their hair? Why do they completely demonize this man? Well, there's a lot of answers to that. A lot of it has to do with the fact that these people, these neocon ventriloquists, have frankly had their entire professional lives revolve around opposition to the Russians, and they can't get over it. And then when the Soviet Union collapsed, they weren't going to throw away their career, so they found new reasons to hate the Russians and to hate Putin. That's number one. It's very much like the war against truth in the global warming racketeering industry. A number of years ago, there was hardly any scientists in this fraudulent field. And then when the bully with the surfboard went crazy and started to send tens of hundreds of billions of dollars into science, every crackpot scientist got into the global warming field. They all became experts in climate science. Well, under Trump, that's going to change. My recommendation to Donald Trump is to defund all of the climate science hysterics. Or if you don't want to do that, give 50% of all the money that's given out there for the climate science hysterics to the skeptics. And let's see where the science leads us, because I know where the science leads us. And if you don't have the time to research it all as I do, just Google Vostok ice core samples. Sometimes the simplest of all studies gives you the best answer. I included it in Government Zero, a whole chapter on it. But the fact of the matter is, when this climate science gravy train ends in 2017, do you think these climate science gangsters are going to stop putting forth the big lie about global warming being caused by your foul breath and your car? No, they're not going to stop. It's the same thing with the neocons who want war with Russia. They never stopped hating Russia. Even though the wall fell down, even though the Soviet Union became Russia, even though Russia became, in some ways, very much like America, they are still cold warriors, these ventriloquists, these neocon ventriloquists. And you're going to see the same thing when the wall comes tumbling down around the big, big lie of our day that man is destroying the earth through global carbon emissions, etc. So I was reading another story not related to anything. I loved going into the neocon ventriloquist story who want war with Russia, but I don't know if today's the day for it. Neocon ventriloquists want war with Russia. I think it's one of my best statements of the year. You know, what's this big thing with Russia, by the way? Let's say that there's truth to it for a moment. That they hacked some of the people in the DNC. Let's say that is true, right? They're not even alleging that they changed anything, just that they saw the emails. So what, excuse me, what's the problem here? What do you mean they hacked the election? In other words, they found out what a rotten thief she actually is and how evil her entire party is? Look, the first allegation of Russian interference was originally dismissed by Obama and his stooges as highly unlikely and laughable. And then it was only after Clinton lost, it became, oh, it's possible that they hacked it. Now suddenly it's a tsunami being put out by the neocon ventriloquists, both liberals and so-called Republicans together, by the way, because they all want war. They want war. Do you understand that? Do you understand what I'm saying to you? When I say neocon, they're identical to the liberals in the sense that they want war with Russia. Whether they want a Cold War or they want a shooting war, they want war with Russia for their own reasons. It's a neocon ventriloquist trick. They can't let go. Do you really want nuclear war with Russia, you idiots, you? You stupid fools, you. Here's a man who won the Nobel Peace Prize the minute he became president for no reason, because the commies who run the UN and the Nobel Peace Prize Committee are one and the same. They're all the same. They go to the same, let's say, I don't want to say pizzerias in Brooklyn, but you get the drift if you're into that story. Those in the UN who are given to that type of thing, and those in the UN who are given to that type of thing, probably go to the same pizzeria in Brooklyn. It's an in-joke that only the truly in people understand what I'm saying. In other words, the plain sick perverts in the UN and the Nobel Peace Prize Committee, they're the same people. They want war with Russia. Why? These are the same people who pretend to be in the peace business. Now they want war. But at the end of the day, what's this Putin thing? Obama's lining himself up to run the UN. He'll fit right in. He's a third worlder in spirit, if not in any other way. And they want war between nations. That's their only justification for existence, are small wars. So he'll fit right in with the other despots, the other corrupt despots in the UN. And if I were Trump, he should do what I've advised for years. Kick the UN out of America. It should be housed in Canada, where the ballet dancer runs the country. Move it to Toronto, if you want to keep it in North America. And convert the UN either into expensive condominiums or make it into a homeless shelter. It would be a better use of the building to make it a homeless shelter than it is right now. You can see that Obama is laying the groundwork for something, and you know what it is. I know what it is. I don't have to consult with what Obama's doing. There's a method to his evil madness. He's laying the groundwork to become the head of the UN. Every position he has taken in the last few days is the position of the United Nations. And that's it. What more do you have to say after that? Add to that. He's going to go to the UN and be cheered day and night because he speaks their language. He's a third worlder, thinks like a third worlder, acts like a third worlder, is a third worlder. Doesn't matter where he was born or not born. He has all the positions of the corrupt and angry in the United Nations. So that's what I'm saying. Okay, so if you get on the show today, you will be a part of a memorable show because it's the last Savage show of 2016, number one. But also, you will have people listening to you who you'll never meet in your life, and a lot of them. And you know what the topics are. I guess you can say anything, truthfully. I wanted to come in for you because I know many of you already wrote the week off. It was over, and no one was in. Everyone's having a fill-in. And some of the fill-ins are terrific in radio, by the way. They're terrific fill-ins. I'm hearing them all week. But the thing is that if this is what you do for a living, can you turn your brain off? I can't. How does anyone who has an active intellect turn it off on a vacation? Look at Obama. He is an active demon. He can't even turn the brain off while he's surfing in Hawaii or golfing. He's still demonically trying to destroy America and the world. Look at this. This angry little man cannot stop trying to disrupt the entire world. Look at him. I want to go back to a book I wrote a number of years ago. I think it was before Stop the Coming Civil War. In one of the books, over the last number of years, I stated that Obama is like a child who takes a clock apart, a fine clock that he inherited, and he knows how to take it apart, but he doesn't know how to put it back together again. The Humpty Dumpty analogy. This guy is taking apart the greatest clock ever created. We gave it to him, and he's taking the pieces out of the clock, and he can't put them back together again. You hear this? Anyway, these are some of the thoughts. There are other stories. Obama stabbed Israel in the back and exposed himself for the crypto-Islamist supremacist that he really is. How do you feel about Obama stabbing Israel in the back Friday night? Now, I know many of you Jew haters will love it, so I shouldn't ask how you feel, because I know many of you anti-Jews and anti-Zionists will say that's a good thing, but you don't know what you're talking about, because if you think supporting the Arabs, the Palestinians, is a good thing, then you should really go visit Israel to see what a good thing is and a bad thing. We have the Powers UN speech, and there are other big stories out there. I don't think we have to get overly excited about them. Scientists say radio signals from deep space could be aliens. No, they could be radio signals being emitted by small objects in space. They don't have to be aliens. They're not radio signals. Don't you understand a radio signal does not have to emanate from a living being? A radio signal can emanate from a stone. Did you know that? See, they're always trying to scare us. World's largest fully steerable radio telescope at the National Radio Astronomy Observatory in Greenbank, West Virginia, has detected powerful radio signals in the same exact location in space. All right, so six new fast radio bursts emitting from a constellation far beyond our Milky Way galaxy. The discovery was made in the Auriga constellation. And what am I supposed to do about it? Is that going to change my digestion? Is that going to change a headache I get if I drink the wrong wine? Is that going to change a sinus attack I'm going to have this spring from the allergies that are going to come? Is that going to change anything? No. So what are they putting this out for? It's to make sure that they're still relevant. That someone wants to pay for the little fun system up there in West Virginia. Look, they have nice jobs. If you're a scientist knocking down 150 grand a year plus bennies to just sit and listen to a telescope all day long, would you want to give it up if Trump was becoming president? No. So you come up with a story that there's radio signals that could be from aliens, so we need more funding. This is how these things work. Let's see. We find that the detected signals have exactly the shape of an ETI, extraterrestrial intelligence signal, wrote Bora and Trottier. Although unlikely. Here, see, although unlikely, there is also a possibility that the signals are due to highly peculiar chemical compositions in a small fraction of galactic halo stars. What did I tell you? And I'm not an astrophysicist, but I knew it was not coming from an alien. If I want to know where aliens are, I just got to go over the Golden Gate Bridge and try to talk to humans who walk around, look like humans in San Francisco. But you may as well talk to a wall. They're like not there. They're not human beings. They look human. They sound human, but they're not human. They don't respond to you in San Francisco. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Well, this is going to be the last that you hear of Michael Savage in 2016. You're hearing it now. It's a benchmark soundbite that you're listening to. It's not recorded. I'm here. I'm actually live. Hello out there. Ping, ping, ping. Ping. I'm pinging from my studio here in the San Francisco area. It's interesting that InfoWars by Alex Jones has an article tonight. Actually, the 28th says, Obama launches scorched earth policy in final days before Trump. Outgoing president turns into General Sherman 2.0 by Kit Daniels. It's a great article. Oh, outgoing President Obama is launching a scorched earth policy to destroy international relations before Trump takes office. We all see that. He's inflicting damage on anything that could help the transition of incoming President Trump, such as friendly relations with world leaders. But there's more to it than that. We know that Obama is fueling international fires, not only to upset the world order and to create chaos for Trump to inherit. That's a given. We see that when he's throwing the stink bomb in the theater as he runs out. But there's a reason for it. There's a method to his madness. He probably wants to go on to run the UN. The UN is largely an irrelevant body. And with the number of brush fires running around the world that become conflagrations, he will be the chief fireman. You get it? He's trying to create a place for himself in the world theater. He wants to head up the UN. That's my opinion. And remember what I just said to you, because I'm the first to say it. Yes, I have to take credit for myself. Otherwise, you won't know it. If I am not for myself, who will be? If I'm only for myself, who am I? KSFO, San Francisco. Jolene, line one, go ahead, please.
Thank you, Dr. Savage. You are not alone, sir. As one of your most loyal Savagettes, I would like to thank you for your respect for culture, borders, bringing us country, this country back to God, and getting America sane again so that you are the number one force that ushered in the common sense approach of Americans to go out and force and vote for Donald Trump, who I believe, like yourself, is placed by God at this place and this time to do these things for all of us in this great United America. I'm down the road from you on the left coast of California in the liberal Mecca of Riverside, California. Thank you, Doctor, for all that you have done for America, for all that you will continue to do for America. You alone were the first outstanding force to bring people to listening to your doctrine of coming back to God and coming to Donald Trump. I was for Donald Trump the first time when he came out and he folded, but you were the primary force, I think, that pressed him on this time and gave him the groundswell.
All right. Well, first of all, what can I say other than I'm humbled by your statement, and I thank you for it, and I'm going to send you a copy of Scorched Earth. But I have only 30 seconds to conclude this incredible year that we've all had together. And I don't, words escape me right now to say to you a number of things, but I'll try to do it. I am so deeply thankful to my audience for being here for me through thick and through thin, through the ups and through the downs, both professionally, emotionally, intellectually. What we have been through this year together is overwhelmingly not to be forgotten. And I want to thank you again for your loyal listenership. I will be back with God's will and your listenership next Monday or Tuesday. God bless America.